Sophia Hawthorne left Lenox to visit her parents in West Newton, just outside Boston. Remaining in the house were Hawthorne, the 5-year-old Julian, Mrs. Peters, the cook and housekeeper, and a pet rabbit who eventually came to be known as Hindlegs. That evening, after putting Julian to bed, Hawthorne sat down and wrote the first chapter of his little saga. With no intention other than to record the doings in the household during his wife's absence, he had inadvertently embarked on something that no writer had ever attempted before him, a meticulous, blow-by-blow account of a man taking care of a young child by himself. In some ways, the situation is reminiscent of the old folktale about the farmer and his wife who swapped chores for a day. There are many versions of the story, but the outcome is always the same. The man, who has either belittled the woman for not working as hard as he does or scolded her for not doing her work well, makes a complete botch of it when he dons an apron and assumes the role of domestic manager. Depending on which variant you read, he either sets fire to the kitchen or winds up dangling from a rope attached to the family cow, who, after a long chain of misadventures, has managed to get herself onto the roof of the house. In all versions, it is the wife who comes to the rescue. Calmly planting crops in a nearby field, she hears her husband's screams and runs back home to extricate him from his predicament before he burns the place down or breaks his neck. Hawthorne didn't break his neck, but he clearly felt that he was on rocky ground, and the tone of 20 Days is at once comic, self-deprecatory, and vaguely befuddled, shot through with what the grown-up Julian would later describe as his father's humorous gravity. Readers familiar with the style of Hawthorne's stories and novels will be struck by the clarity and simplicity of expression in the notebooks. The dark, brooding obsessions of his fiction produced a complex, often ornate density to his sentences, a refinement that sometimes bordered on the fussy or obscure. And some readers of his early tales, which were mostly published unsigned, mistakenly assumed that their author was a woman. Henry James, who wrote one of the first book-length studies of Hawthorne's work, learned much from this original and delicate prose, which was unique in its ability to join the intricacies of acute psychological observation with large moral and philosophical concerns. But James was not Hawthorne's only reader, and there are several other Hawthornes who have come down to us as well. Hawthorne the allegorist, Hawthorne the high romantic fabulist, Hawthorne the chronicler of 17th century colonial New England, and, most notably, Hawthorne as reimagined by Borges, the precursor of Kafka. Hawthorne's fiction can be read profitably from any of these angles, but there is yet another Hawthorne who has been more or less forgotten, neglected because of the magnitude of his other achievements. The private Hawthorne, the scribbler of anecdotes and impulsive thoughts, the workman of ideas, the meteorologist and depictor of landscapes, the traveler, the letter writer, the historian of everyday life. The pages of the American notebooks are so fresh, so vivid in their articulations, that Hawthorne emerges from them not as some venerable figure from the literary past, but as a contemporary, a man whose time is still the present. 20 Days was not the only occasion on which he wrote about his children. Once Una and Julian were old enough to talk, he seemed to take immense pleasure in jotting down some of their zanier utterances, and the notebooks are studded with entries such as these. I'm tired of all sings and want to slip into God. I'm tired of little Una Hawthorne. Are you tired of Mama? No. But are you tired of Papa? No, I am tired of Dora, and tired of little Julian, and tired of little Una Hawthorne. Una, you hurt me a little. Julian, well, I'll hurt you a big. Julian, Mama, why is not dinner supper? Mama, why is not a chair a table? Julian, because it's a teapot. I said to Julian, let me take off your bib. And he, taking no notice, I repeated it 2 or 3 times, each time louder than before. At last he bellowed, let me take off your head. On Sunday, March 19th, 1848, during the period